Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Whenever we think in reference to the church, good people, I believe that whenever the church began after its inception there in the book of Acts chapter 2, that it was indeed a glorious occasion. There was every reason for rejoicing that day and beyond, and a reason for that is because these people had been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and these people had it brought before them in a very real way that the Messiah had finally come, and then in His coming now that they had been recipients of the salvation that our God had offered. Having been baptized into Christ, now these people are making their way back to their homelands and they're sharing with their families and friends. And as a result of their evangelistic efforts in reaching out with the good news about Christ, others are learning concerning salvation. And based out of what it is that these people are finding, then in like figure they are obeying the gospel. These people are being baptized into Christ and receiving the forgiveness of sins, and congregations are being established of the Lord's church. And good people, whenever we look into the book of Acts as well as into the epistles, we find the development of the first century church. And we find how that the saints were on fire and how that these individuals truly appreciated what it is that they received in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because of that now, they are doing everything that is within their power to do to make certain that the gospel of Christ is spread far and wide. However, the church was not without problems. The church was not without division taking place within multiple congregations. And in fact, I believe that no other congregation bears this out than what we find with the saints at Corinth. And whenever we look at 1 Corinthians, good people, time and time again, the Apostle Paul writes concerning the division that these people had amongst them. From the very get-go, the Apostle Paul, having helped this congregation, having brought these individuals to an understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and helping them to understand not only how salvation is in Christ, but now in like figure what it is to demonstrate, what it is to participate in New Testament Christianity and New Testament worship. The Apostle Paul, whenever he writes to these saints here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find is that these individuals had turned away from New Testament Christianity, that these individuals had turned away from worshiping and praising our God in the direction that God commands mankind to go in. Why do I state that? Good people, in verse 10, Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, that by the name of Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." They were not speaking the same thing. They were not telling the truth concerning the doctrine of Christ. And for that reason, there was division among them. And Paul told them, "Listen, division is not right. And God wants you to understand that it's not right. And for that reason, God wants you to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." He says that some there that day were saying that they were of Paul. Some of Apollos and others of Cephas. And others were saying, "I am of Christ." And Paul says, "Is Christ divided?" And the answer to that is certainly not. Good people, there was division in the church in the first century. And sadly today, that continues on. And our God wants us to understand that God hates division. Our God looks down upon those who cause division. And our God, His stomach churns by those who are divisive in the church and even outside of the Lord's church. And why is that? Good people, we learn in New Testament Scripture and Old Testament alike that our God is unified. Our God is one. We understand concerning God is that there is a plurality of those who make up the Godhead. But also we understand is that there is a presence of those who comprise the Godhead as is brought out in the book of Matthew chapter 3 verses 15 through 17. But concerning those who make up God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us on a continual basis that these three are one. How are they one? Good people, they are one in purpose, planning, and action. Whenever it comes to salvation, whenever it comes to matters of doctrine, whenever it comes to the Lord's church, these three are in full agreement, always working for the betterment or for the benefit of the souls of mankind. Our God is one. And it's interesting too, whenever we think in reference to Christ and His coming to this world, is that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ Himself prayed for unity. In the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 21, we understand here in the context that Christ prayed that He would be exalted again to the position that He had left whenever He came to this world. But then in like figure, He prayed for the apostles, those whom the Father had given. And good people, also He has prayed for you and me. He prayed for those who will believe on Him. And what is it that He prayed for in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21? He says that they may be one in us, Father, as You are in me, that they also may be one, so that the world may believe that You have sent me. Jesus Christ prayed for unity. And good people, our God wants us to understand that God hates division. But what do we find, what we think in reference to what is here in the world in a religious sense? We find universal problems. We find universal divisions where people will worship not Jehovah God, but rather that they will worship other gods. Gods that have been dreamed up, gods that have been developed in the minds of mankind and put forth for the consideration of man. And in all of this then, they no longer follow the doctrine that is found in the Scripture, but rather that they will follow according to the doctrines that mankind has come up with. In this, they do not hold to the trueness concerning the salvation that is offered in Jesus Christ, that an individual believes with all of their heart that Jesus is indeed the Son of the living God. And based out of that belief, then therefore that they submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever we look at the religious world, good people, the religious world does not agree with that. Nor do they follow the truth concerning New Testament worship. They want to worship and to do whatever it is that they feel best to do. Whatever it is that will bring them pleasure and happiness in life. Why is this the case, good people? I believe in part it's because of what we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The message concerning Christ was foolish to those in the first century who did not want to accept Christ as the Savior. And today, whenever we look at the things that are offered in terms of salvation by the religious world, whenever we say and whenever we point out what the Bible says concerning baptism, that it is indeed essential for salvation, the religious world says that that's foolish, that that is a work, that is an act of mankind. And good people, in that, they're calling the plan of God foolishness. Whenever they're denying the fact that this is what God requires of man to do. But then in like figure we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, is that these individuals, as what the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will have itching ears. The gospel is not what they want to hear. The gospel truth steps on toes from time to time. Are there positive points about the gospel? Absolutely. And as a gospel preacher, I pray that I always am balanced in the lessons that I present, is that we give food concerning the positive, but at the same time, there are negative things about the gospel. And in a lot of these man-made churches, good people, they do not want you to stand up and to proclaim the truth. Why? Because it steps on people's toes. And whenever it steps on people's toes, they don't want that. They would rather have their ears tickled. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, this young evangelist, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to want their ears tickled, Timothy. And he says they're going to heap to themselves teachers. What type of teachers are they going to bring forth? Good people, they're going to bring out false teachers who are going to give man what it is that they want to hear, and it's not the truth. But in like figure, I believe, it's also what we find in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, whenever he writes to the saints of Galatia, says, "Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians?" Some people are pew sitters, and some people follow a religion based out of what it is that they have been brought up in. It was good enough for mom and dad, and because it was good enough for mom and dad, then it's going to be good enough for me. And they will go and they will hear their preacher preach. And they don't know that it's not the truth, and for that reason they have been bewitched. They have been tricked into believing something that is false. Good people, how is it that we're going to be able to gain as well as to maintain scriptural unity? I believe from the context here of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, first we understand is that we must speak the same thing. If we are going to be united as the true Lord's church, we must speak the very same thing. The Bible is from God. In fact, we learn this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Good people, all Scripture, the Old and the New Testament of like, and it's required of us that we understand that indeed, as we read and study from the Bible, that it is inspired by God, that it is His message, that it is the way in which He has communicated to mankind. And when we think and approach the Scripture, not only do we need to understand that this is the way that God has communicated to man, but that He has fully communicated to mankind, completely. As Jude says in Jude 3, it is His final revelation to mankind. And Peter helps us to understand in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, as His divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. Good people, we must speak the same thing. And what is it then that we must speak? The same as what the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. We must preach the Word. We have responsibilities to the Word of God, to study the Word of God. When and how often then should we study from the Word of God? We ought to be like those in Berea who were more nobler than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily. We need to search the Scriptures daily, but not only those of us who are members of the Lord's church, but if the religious world wants to have biblical unity, we need to challenge them on a continual basis to go back and to search the Scriptures daily. And in searching the Scriptures, we understand, as is taught in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent in our pursuit to know God so that we will be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. And good people, we have indeed a responsibility to the truth, to understand the truth, to realize the truth that God offers to us. And then therefore to speak that truth from that point forward. Why do people not speak the truth? Why do people not speak the same thing whenever we have indeed the same Bible that we study from? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul told those at Corinth that they needed to learn not to go beyond the Scripture. Mankind is going beyond what it is that the Scripture has to offer. And even sometimes they're not going far enough in saying all that the Scripture has to offer. But then in like figure we find in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 is that there were those during Peter's time, during the time in which he penned this epistle, is that there were people who were twisting the Scripture. They were not satisfied with exactly what it was that God commanded, what God had spoken, and for that reason they distorted it. They twisted it. And they made it say whatever they wanted it to say. And that's why we live in a religious world today that is confused, as well as a religious world that is so divided. It's because man is not satisfied with the truth. That man is not satisfied to speak the same things that we do find in the Scripture. And for that reason, they're constantly twisting the Scripture. If you and I want religious unity, if you and I want true biblical scriptural unity that is going to be pleasing unto God, we must speak the same thing. And we must be perfectly joined together. Perfect unity is what God defines. And to what level must we be unified? In the same mind and in the same judgment. The same as what the Apostle Paul told those at Corinth. There cannot be partial agreement. There cannot be, have it your way and I'll have it my way. We must be perfectly joined together. Good people, I believe that God has given us that word perfectly because He wants us to understand that. Perfectly means that we are completely, without any question, on the same page. How can we be scripturally united? By speaking the same thing. But also, good people, we need to understand that we need to follow Jesus. When we look at the religious world, the majority of the religious world is following some man. The Islams are following Muhammad, And in fact, they believe that this man is indeed the greatest prophet to ever live upon the face of the earth. And they worship and bow themselves down to this individual, and they give homage to this individual, this man. But you know, Islam is not alone. We also have the Lutheran Church, and they are followers of Martin Luther. We have Wesley, those who follow Wesley, and John Calvin, and the list just goes on and on of individuals who will follow a man. And to those individuals who are followers of man and these man-made churches, I want to ask the same question as what the Apostle Paul asked here. Is Christ divided? Most certainly He is not. Why do we have all of these man-made churches, and why do people follow man? The people, because they do not understand the truth and the need to follow Jesus and follow Christ alone. As I stand before you tonight, I want to encourage you, do not follow me. Do not follow me. Do not follow Garland. Do not follow some other man who claims to be a preacher of the gospel. Rather, follow Christ. If you see us doing what it is that God commands us to do and leading in the direction that we are to lead in, then by all means, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. But if we're not imitating Christ, if we do not understand and love the Word of God, if we do not walk, if we do not lead in the direction that God commands us to go, don't follow us. Why? Because you'll end up like the rest of the religious world, following some man and following some man-made doctrine. We need to make certain that we are followers of God, followers of Christ. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. What does He mean there in the context that He is the way, the truth, and the light? And no one's going to have access into the Father except through Him? Good people, in the book of John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus said that I am the good shepherd. We are sheep. As we go about here in this world, we are sheep. And it's interesting, too, that He compares us to sheep. Sheep are not considered to be the sharpest tool in the shed. Sheep make mistakes, and therefore they need a shepherd to lead and to guide them. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Well, what does He mean that He is the good shepherd? He is the true shepherd. He loves the sheep. He knows the sheep. He cares for the sheep. And good people, because of His love for mankind, because of His love for the souls of mankind, the shepherd is going to lead us down the paths of righteousness. And for that reason, good people, we need to hear His voice. Those who follow Jesus will hear His voice. We will listen intently to what it is that He has to say. We will do all that is within our power, not only to hear what He has to say, but to understand the depth, the direction that He commands us to go. And then in hearing, then, we will make that conscious decision. We will make that asserted effort to follow Him. We will be committed to doing what it is that He commands us to do. And good people, that's going to begin in baptism, to put Christ on in baptism for the forgiveness of sin. But yet, in like figure, we're going to continue to follow Him. And if we continue to follow Him, then we're going to walk in and throughout the course of our life in the direction that He commands us to go. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, good people, we can know, as John also describes in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, that indeed we are true children of God, that we do belong to the true Lord's church, if we know the Lord, and if we continue to walk in the direction that He commands man to go. How can we have true biblical unity? Not by doing as the majority of the world and following some man, but rather by following the man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. True unity requires understanding. An understanding that an individual has been wrong, that an individual has believed a lie. Whenever we think about the religious world, they are blinded. They do not understand. Yet at the same time, they fully believe that which they have is okay, that which they have is going to be pleasing to God, that which they are following, that is going to land them into an eternal life in heaven with God. And for that reason, good people, we need to preach the Word and to make certain that we are teaching them to help bring them to a fuller understanding concerning the truth.
And good people, whenever we think about the religious world, their eyes are closed to the truth. And they need to come to an understanding of the truth that is in Christ, that is found in the Scripture. And then to come to an acceptance that which they have believed is indeed a lie. And that which they have been a part of is not according to the will of our God. And this takes humility. It takes an individual to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself." And so people, if we want true biblical unity, every one of us need to make certain that every day that we humble ourselves and not allow our will to take precedence over the will of God, but rather to put Him first in all things. And then, in religious unity, it also takes effort. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and following, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity. That word endeavoring means is that it is a continual effort on the part of the individual as well as upon the part of all who call themselves New Testament Christians to be a part of the one faith, to be a part of the one God, and to partake of that one baptism as is mentioned in the context. And then to live faithful to our God unto the very end. Tonight, where do you stand with our God? Do you have unity with God? Have you named Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? You see, God has done His part. In the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He gave Christ at Calvary to give us an opportunity to receive the forgiveness of sin. And in receiving the forgiveness of sin, then to live our lives to Him unto death. And then He will give us a crown of righteousness in the day of the Lord. But yet at the same time, we must submit. We must surrender our will for the will of God, and we must give ourselves over to be baptized into Christ in order to receive the forgiveness that God extends in Christ. I ask you the same as what Ananias had asked the Apostle Paul, as what we find in the book of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. "Why tarriest thou? But arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, having your sins washed away."